We need some people that's willing to help with refreshments and just to serve cookies and Kool-Aid, typical Bible school food, and need some help working on some other stuff. So I need all of y'all, bus workers, Sunday school teachers. I need you, Miss Dottie, I need you to do that for me. Eric, we need your talent. We need some other guys to help us do stuff, okay? Need you to help us do some things. We're planning for Bible school. So let's look just for a minute, real quick tonight, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Way over yonder in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 this evening. And we'll look here, if you don't mind, just for a minute here, some scripture beginning with verse number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 1. 2 Corinthians 4, look at verse 1 tonight. I'm going to read it to you and you follow along with me. Therefore, seeing we have received with this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now follow along. Look how this is worded. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, that's the devil, see that little g? Little g means that's the devil, the god of this world. He's in control of this world right now. I hear a lot of people say, "Why? If God's so good, why did this happen to me?" Because there's a devil. You can figure that out, can't you? And he's running things right now. That's why bad things happen in this world. People say, if there's a God, why'd that little kid get because there's a devil? If there wasn't no devil, there wouldn't be nothing bad happen. And that's what it's going to be one day when God fixes everything. All right, let's look down there at verse number 4. The god of this world blinded the minds, not the eyes, the minds of them which believe not. That's why people believe in evolution. That's why people believe in things that are backward and other gods. Their mind is blinded. And them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, look at verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. Here we go. Look at this. This is what I want to get to. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be made manifest in our body. Now look at these verses in verse 8 and 9, that seem to be a contradiction. And I want to use that tonight, and I want to preach on paradox. What is a paradox? A paradox is something that seems like it's one way, but it's really the other way. Seems like it's down, but it's up. Seems like it's in, but it's out. That's what a paradox is. A paradox is a statement that seems like it says two different things. We are persecuted, but not destroyed. We are cast down, but not forsaken. So I want to talk just a minute, and I'm just going to give you a little lesson on this for a few minutes tonight. And I believe it'll help you if you'll listen, because every one of us tries to live the Christian life every week. I hope you do. And I'm going to give you some paradoxes in your life. Now, the first one tonight is this. We go down, up, by going down. A Christian goes up by going down. The Bible said in Matthew 23 and verse 12, it said, he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. If you want to go high in the Lord's work, the best way to do is humble yourself down. You know, we could use a real lesson in this in our generation of Christianity. We're living in a generation where I watch them preachers on TV, and I watch them singing groups on TV, and boy, they'll say, here they are, ladies and gentlemen, the great, wonderful, woo! And everybody claps their hands, and you know, this Christian celebrity comes out, you know, and they say, and they do their thing, you know, and everybody just thinks, how wonderful. Now, according to the Bible, if you really want to do something for God, that is not the way to do it. That is not the way to do it. The way to do something for God is to humble yourself. The way to do something for God is not to exalt yourself. The perfect illustration is that young preacher I've told you about. I've told you about him many times. There was a young preacher who went to Bible college, and buddy, he graduated and got his degree, and he come out, and he thought he's going to set the world on fire. You know, every young preacher thinks they're the next Billy Graham, and boy, when they preach, the whole world's going to get saved, and they're going to change everybody and straighten everybody out. Well, he come into a church, he got to preach his first sermon. He sat down on the front row like, here I am, you know. Got that ministerial look where they put their Bible up under their arm and walk like this. Like, here I am. Everybody see me, you know. Well, anyway, he stood up there like that, you know. And he got his Bible and he walked up here like this. And he wanted to do everything just right, like they taught him in preaching school. And he turned around like this. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, please open your Bibles to, and boy, he thought of it, and he couldn't read his scripture, and he stumbled and stammered around that. He couldn't say nothing. He got his tongue tangled up. I mean, he messed up three or four times. He couldn't get his words right. Nothing would come out right. And finally, he just looked down and looked like this. He said, folks, I'm sorry. He said, I thought I could preach. He said, I'm a failure. He said, I ain't nothing. If the Lord don't help me, he said, I'm sorry. I can't do it. And he went down like kissed and hung his head, and he walked out like this, like I'm a flop, I'm a failure. And an old preacher was sitting on the back row, and he grabbed him when he went by and yanked on his shoulder like that, and he looked at him and he said, young man, he said, if you'd have went up like you come down, he said, you could have come down like you went up. And you know what he meant by that? He said, if that boy went up there like this and said, God, I can't do it. God, I can't do it. God, please help me. God, please help me. He could have come down with his head up in the air saying, glory to God. That's the way it is. That's a paradox. In God's work, people, we are not Christian showmen. This is not a spiritual Hollywood. Amen? I went to a church where people get up and they say, and now the one. Yeah, I see it a lot because I travel. I see these singing groups come in. Lord have mercy. And they'll come in and sit there and mess with their cell phones and look at each other and they're bored to death. And the preacher calls on them. All right, let's have the so-and-sos. And here they get up here and say, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I thought, well, you just suddenly got spiritual when you jumped up here. That ain't the way it works. If you ain't spiritual sitting down there, you ain't spiritual when you get up here. I ain't no more spiritual up here tonight than I was before I left my house this evening. You don't suddenly just turn spiritual when you walk into church. You're the same old sorry good for nothing as you was at home this evening. And so am I. We're just sinners saved by grace. We come in with an attitude. Every time I get up to preach, I get up here, Lord help me. Lord help me. I'm a meek and lowly, no good for nothing. I mean, I'm a sorry sinner. It ought to be in hell. But I'm going to tell you tonight, I can't. The way up is down. Young preachers have a hard time learning that. Singers have a hard time learning that. Ladies and gentlemen, we go up by going down. That's right. You can tell some people and they won't listen. You can't tell some people nothing. You tell them and 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 tell them. I know church people that their nose is stuck so high in the air, you can't tell them nothing. Say amen right there. Amen. That's right, brother. It's like that fellow said, he thought he was dead. And he was convinced that he was dead. And he went, he told everybody, and finally this he took him to a psychiatrist. And he went to this psychiatrist, he sat there, and the doctor said, now, so you're dead, huh? Yeah, that's right, been dead for years. And he said, well, how did you die? Well, I got killed several years ago, and he said, man, he said, let me ask you a question. He said, do dead people bleed? Guy said, no, dead people don't bleed. He said, all right, let me see. He took his hand like that. He took a needle, goes, pop, and blood just started squirting out everywhere. And the doctor went like that, and he said, good night, wow, dead people do bleed. That's the way a lot of church members are. That's where a lot of Baptists are. Amen. Buddy, they got that stuck in their head. They believe this all their life. You can't tell them nothing. You know, let me tell you the best attitude to come to church with. Let me tell everybody, you know how you ought to walk in that door? You walk in that door like, dear God, I ain't nothing but a sinner. And if you're willing to speak to me and help me, I sure would appreciate it. Lord, if you'll bless me, I'll thank you for it. But if you decide not even to speak to me, so you're still God in, don't you walk in here like you're something special and so up here in the choir like here I am. Brother, the way up is down in the Christian life. Just about the time you think you're high and mighty, the Lord juck the rug out from under you. Buddy, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Ain't that right? People who think they're big shots, go down, buddy. A big shot is a little shot that ought to be shot. That's what somebody said. That's right. There ain't no big shot. There ain't nobody in here no better than nobody else. Hey, no, you ain't no better than anybody in this world. The only difference between you and Charles Manson tonight is the grace of God Almighty. You're made out of the same stuff he is, and the only difference between you and some old sleaze like Lady Doo-Doo, girls, is the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ, or you'd be just as low down as she is. Amen. Let me tell you something else. We go up by going down. Number two, we gain our freedom by being a slave. We gain freedom by being a slave. John 8:32 said, the truth shall make you what? Free. Free. The truth shall make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, the freedom of any people can be judged when you get around them, and the Bible said, he that committeth sin is the what? Servant of sin. If a person lives, let me put it to you plain so you can understand it. You talk to a lot of young people and you say, why don't you come to church? I ain't going to church. You ain't putting a bunch of rules on me. Bind me up. You can't do this. Can't do that. I'm free, man. I'm going to get drunk Friday night. And I'm going to smoke pot Saturday night. And we're going to live it up. And we're going to you know what the Bible says? The Bible said, he that committeth sin is the servant of sin. You become a slave to your sin. You're not free. You're a slave. I see the guys out, bless their heart. I see them out hitchhiking. Seen one the other day. He's going up the road, and I've seen some of these guys, this guy had on combat boots, brother. Big old heavy boots like that, and a big old pack on his back. And it's 90-something degrees, and a big old scruffly beard, and all that. And you talk to, you know what they say? They say, nobody ain't going to tell me what to do, man. I was free, man. I don't work for the government, man. I'm just free, man. I get high, man. And all of that. And I look at them like, you are free? These people in jail got it better off than he does. People in jail got a warm bed and can take a shower. Amen? And eat three meals a day. The devil's got them tricked. People that's out living in sin are not free. Do you honestly think Britney Spears is free? Do you believe Michael Jackson was free? Lord have mercy, I got 10,000 times more freedom than Michael Jackson had. Listen, the truth will set you free. Ladies and gentlemen, that's how you get free tonight, is by the truth. He that committeth sin is a servant of sin. You know what that is? That's a paradox. A paradox says is something that seems one way, but it's really the other way. It's like this. The Lord makes rules. The Lord makes rules. Here people say, well, one girl told me, she said, I'm leaving home. I said, why? She says, Daddy says I have to be home at 11 o'clock. Daddy says my skirt's too short. Daddy said I got on too much makeup. I'm going to go out and move in with my boyfriend. So she moves in with the boyfriend. Next thing you know, the boyfriend starts saying, that skirt you've got on is a little short. You flirting with them guys at work? She said, okay, honey, I'll get it down. You got on too much makeup. You trying to find somebody else? And then she has to get up and go to work every morning. And he puts more rules on her than his daddy did. You see, the devil will tell you if you go out and sin, young people, that you got all this freedom. No mean old mom and daddy won't let you go here, won't let you go there. But every time they draw a line, and every time they make a boundary, and every time they box you in, you can have all the freedom you want inside those boundaries, and if you get out, you'll be a slave. But like this, if the Lord built a fence right around here, I can run around, I can play all I want to inside the fence. If I get out and I do wrong, then I pay for it. I become a slave. My that old bulldog of Corey's, I kept it for a while. They went on vacation, and Lord have mercy, that thing's stupid. It's an English bulldog, and they're crazy. They ain't got a lick of sense. And his name's Gamble. And as soon as you let him out of the pen, he just takes off flying down the hill. Don't even know where he's going. And don't know how to get back. And I think, I put him back up. Put him back up. I think, you idiot, if you had any sense, I could let you stay out here in the yard and play. But you ain't got enough sense to stay in the yard. And that's what the Lord has to do with us. If you had any sense, He might let you do something. That's rough, ain't it? If you'd behave, the Lord might give you a car or a job or some money. If you'd behave. But you ain't got enough sense to behave. So He won't let you have nothing. That's awful. That's an awful thing to say. I wouldn't come here a preacher talking to me like that. You know what that is? That's a paradox. That's a paradox. We gain our freedom through slavery. Let me give you one. You know what a paradox is? We can see somebody that's invisible. Isn't that something? We can see somebody who's invisible. Now you say, no, that's impossible. How can you see somebody that's invisible? I don't know, but we can by faith, I reckon. Hebrews 11:27 said He endured seeing Him who is invisible. I've never seen the Lord, but I can see Him. I've never seen heaven, but I can see it. In my heart, in my mind, eyes of faith, I can see Him, brother. I know it's there. Amen. I can see Him. I can see Him through the Scriptures. When I read the Bible, I can see Jesus. I've never seen Him with these eyes, but when I read the Word of God, like the old song says, there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith, we can see it afar. You see what's invisible. I've never seen the Lord with these eyes, but I know He's real. I've heard people say, well, I don't believe in nothing I can't see. Really? You believe in electricity? You believe in the wind? You can't see the wind. You say you can. You see the tree. You see the effects of the wind. You can't see the wind. It's invisible. I can't see the Lord, but I sure see the effect of when He comes through. Amen. Listen, I can't see a tornado, brother, but I can see what it does when it comes through a community. Trees laying down, cars turned over, and everything else. Brother, when the Lord moves, you can see Him move through. You see Him who is invisible. Not only that, we rest. How? You said, I know how to rest. Just throw everything down and lay down. Nope, we rest by taking on a burden. Matthew 11:28, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You take on the burden of the cross, and your own burden will be gone. By faith in the Lord, the song says, my faith hath found a resting place, not in device or creed. Amen? I'm telling you tonight, brother, you rest by taking on a burden. You rest by taking on a burden. Number five, quickly tonight, we conquer by giving in and yielding. He said, when I am weak, I'm strong. Now, I don't know if I can say this the way it's in my heart, but there's been times when I felt, you've heard me tell many times, that night, way back years ago, when I was going through a very, very bad time. Listen, all y'all. Listen, because some of y'all are going through a bad time now. I was going through a terrible time in my life. I felt like, Lord, I am no good for nothing. And I had people telling me bad things way back in the late 80s. And I had people walk up to me and say, you're done, buddy. You're done. You're washed up. God's done with you. Why don't you get you a job selling vacuum cleaners and maybe they'll let you teach Sunday school somewhere. And I mean, the devil jumped on me with both feet. And the devil told me God will never bless you. And the devil told me God will never use you. And I had to preach revival way, way, way over yonder in the mountains of Robbinsville, North Carolina. I mean, way past Cherokee, almost to the end of North Carolina. Brother, it's mountains just like that, and they pipe sunshine in, the moonshine out. I ain't kidding you. I mean, it's an awful, awful, terrible place. And I remember going over there that day. It was raining, really, really bad, cold, and it was in November, and it was pouring the rain. It was foggy. You know, you get over there past Cherokee and Bison City, and I'm like, Lord, it's foggy over in there. You couldn't
see 30 foot in front of you, and I was crying, and then when you know when you're crying and the windshield wiper's going, it makes it that much worse. Have you ever been there? Have you ever had your heart broke? Have you ever been just crying till you couldn't cry no more? Have you ever felt like I'm nothing, my life is terrible, I'm miserable? That's what I felt. I thought, dear God, there ain't no use of me going. And you've heard me tell, I won't tell the whole story, but I got there 3 hours from my house, pulled into a little old store over there, and I said, Lord, if I can just rest my eyes just for a minute, I'd sure appreciate it. And I met the preacher, and we followed him way up this old mountain road to a little bitty country church. It wasn't as big, maybe just one section right here, not even as big as this one section. And there's some old folks sitting in there, and I got up there the first night, and I preached unto them best I could. And somebody came to the altar, and I told you about how next night the boy got saved and God moved him there, and we had 75 people saved, 21 nights of revival. I mean, it got all over the school. It changed. They still people serving God tonight out of what happened in that revival that night. You know why? Because when I am weak, He is strong. You know what God wants? He wants us to get to the end of ourselves. He don't need your personality. He don't need your talent. He don't need your great wisdom and your wonderful brain. He wants you to say, here am I, Lord. What I've got is yours. And let God use it. Amen. That puts us all on level ground. I've heard people say, if I was talented like so and so. No, uh-uh. God is not interested in your talent. People say, if I could only remember Scripture like He can. People say, if I could only like she can. If I could only sing like her. Listen, I tell you what you do. You say, God, these hands are nothing, but I'm giving them to you. These feet ain't much, but you can have them. You can have all of me, and you watch what God might do with you. The Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh. His life wasn't perfect. He said, I have the messenger of Satan that buffets me. And we don't know what it was, but it was something that absolutely plagued him his entire ministry. And son, that old boy just kept going and kept going. And you know what he said? When I'm weak, then I'm strong. We conquer by giving in and yielding. Number six, we become wise through foolishness. 1 Corinthians 1:20 said, the preaching of the cross to the world, it's foolish, but unto us which are saved. When you go out, now think about this, if you've never heard this before. You go out and say, hey, here it is 2012. Guess what, sir? You live in Germany all your life? You're going to die one day. When you die, you're either going to heaven or hell. Really? How do you know? What's heaven? Oh, it's a place where it's perfect and you're going to live forever and ever and ever. What's hell? Burn fire forever and ever and ever. How do you know? The Bible tells me. Well, who wrote the Bible? God. That's really far out to this world. What does it say? It said God had a son. God had a son? God? He's a spirit, right? Yeah. How can he have a son? Oh, it's a miracle. Who's his mama? Mary, a virgin. You mean to tell me a virgin had a baby? That's right. You see how foolish that sounds to the world? We're telling people that a virgin had a baby. One guy said, you can't tell me that a woman had a child without the aid of a man. No daddy. He said, that's right. He said, I'll tell you something weirder than that. We believe Adam and Eve didn't have a mama or a daddy. But if you're dumb enough to believe evolution, they believe you come from a rock. That's 10,000 times worse. You really got to be ignorant to believe evolution. But I'm going to tell you that tonight, we believe a virgin had a child. And the child was perfect. And the child grew up and died on the cross and paid the price for everybody in the world's sins. To the world, that is foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. That's a paradox. That's a paradox. We believe that one of these days we're going to hear a shout and we're going to leave this world without the aid of a machine. We're going to fly. I mean, think about that. If you've never heard that before, we're going to fly. Yeah, okay. Well, all right. We really are. The Bible said in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the trump shall sound and we'll be caught up. I used to
once in a while dream that I can fly. It's the best feeling ever. I dream I was flying out over my front yard and I was going this way and that way. I think it was every time I eat too much pizza. But I dreamed I could fly. Man, I was flying out over the pond and around the woods. And oh man, it was a great feeling. But you know what? One of these days we really will fly. That's a paradox. Last, I'm going to say this, and we're going to have our meeting tonight. Here's a paradox for you. We give up what we cannot keep to gain what we cannot lose. We become great through serving. Mark chapter 10, verse 42. Amen. Humble himself as a little child, the same as greatest in the kingdom of heaven. D.L. Moody preached on a box one time, and he preached on how to reach the masses. And people come up, they made fun of him, laughed at him. Every great preacher that God ever used, there was a time in his life when the people world made fun of him and laughed at him like he was a joke. And God took him and did great things with him. I think about Brother Ray. You know, Brother Ray, by this world's view, had nothing. Insignificant. The world never knew his name. They never had his name on TV. Brother Ray never made a big impression on the people down there at NC State or the Carolina Tar Heels. People out in Hollywood never heard of Brother Ray Martin. That's the way the world is. And if they saw anything, that poor old crazy man out there with them stickers all over his van. But you know, that ain't the way the Lord looked at it. That is not the way the Lord looked at it. The Lord looked down at him and said, there's my old buddy Ray down there. He's telling them. He said he'd go out there. He used to go out here on the side of the interstate place and he'd put up a sign. It said, hell is real. Please don't go. That was his favorite saying, hell is real. Please don't go. And he said, them cars running around. He said, he could time it by his watch. He said, I got 30 minutes. And he could tell the cops would be there. And they said, Rhonda said that when Ray, he said his 30 minutes was up, he'd start packing up his stuff, putting them in his van, and he'd see a cop cutting off the interstate coming around. Somebody called him and complained, and they was going to run him off because you're really not supposed to do that. And he'd go somewhere else and put his sign up. I mean, you know what? That old boy gave up, Brother Ray gave up what he couldn't keep to gain what he couldn't lose. Instead of spending his life trying to make a little more money, a little more money, a little more money, he said, I'm going to make crosses. There's crosses all over Burke County where he stuck them. Somebody said they'd walk, but John was saying, you'll walk around, you go in these trails and everything, over yonder behind Judge's restaurant, and ever so often there's a little cross. They said, Brother Ray's been here. Brother Ray's been here. Brother Ray's been here. He left a mark. He left a mark. Are you going to do that? Are y'all going to leave a mark? Are you going to leave your footprint on this world so when you're gone, people say, you know what? They gave up what they couldn't keep to gain what they couldn't lose. That's a paradox. Let's stand by our head for prayer. Let's stand, every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. Tonight, maybe there's somebody here this evening while they play softly.